Parshas Matos Masei. A lot of important things come out of the parsha. Perhaps one of the themes I think that the Torah is telling us in the last week's parsha is an answer to a question. I think every once in a while it's worth to ask ourselves, what does it mean to be part of Am Yisrael? Perhaps seems like a very elementary level question, but I think there's some depth to it. What does it mean to be part of Am Yisrael? What does it mean to be part of the Jewish nation? So the simple answer is, it means you can't do a lot of things. A whole heap load of restrictions, limitations, and obligations. That's what it means to be Jewish. You have Tayag Mitzvahs, and you have Loisaseis, and you have Darabonas, and on top of that you have Chumras. Guy came over to me, my shul yesterday told me, he thinks I'm too machmeh with the 9 days. So what do you want from me? I'm just telling you what everyone else says. Are you taking it out with me? I'm not machmeh in anything. So we found that we were going through Tshuva for Rav Moshe. So I said, it's Rav Moshe, not me. She says, Rav Moshe is too machmeh on the 9 days. Yeah, okay. That's part of the restrictions of being Jewish, is we can't do certain things. That's part of being Jewish. But I think that we all know there's much more to being part of Am Yisrael than just restrictions, limitations, and regulations. There's more to it. And perhaps the answer to what more is there is found in this week's parasha, perhaps last week's parasha. In last week's parasha, we find, I think, two places where subtly HaKadosh Baruch Hu is relating to us, the Jewish nation, living today in our world, what does it mean to be part of Am Yisrael? Beginning of the parasha, when Klai Yisrael goes to war, so Moshe Rabbeinu is told that we're going to have a war. Moshe Rabbeinu was actually told to go to the war, even though he doesn't lead the war. And it's interesting, if you look in the Torah, it says there's going to be 1,000 troops per shevet, per tribe. Subtotal 12,000 soldiers. However, the Medrash writes there were really 36,000 soldiers that went to war. How did the numbers work out? So the Medrash says there were 12,000 soldiers, 12,000 people davening, and 12,000 that were guarding the Kalim. So the obvious question is, why do you have so many people davening? I understand, you have 12,000 soldiers. You'll have a minion, 10 people in a shul davening, you'll have 12 people, 5 people. Why exactly 1,000? So I believe the Torah is answering our question. Because what it means to be Klai, so if you're not going to go to war, because for whatever reason, you're not fit for battle, you on your own merit, on your own schusim, or you don't know how to handle a gun, whatever the reason you're not going to battle is, it does not mean you're now exempt from the tsar that Klai Yisrael is feeling. Yes, you're not going to war. Fine. But you have to do your part, your efforts in the war, to be able to help Klai Yisrael survive. So it's going to be davening. So we match one soldier per davener, because it's a partnership. We partner together. You go to the war and I daven. It has to be an equal partnership, because when someone else, it's not that I can't sit on the sideline and watch Jews suffering, Jews going into dangerous situations, and to me, it's business as usual. That's not an option, because that's not what it means to be part of Am Yisrael. Am Yisrael means we're all one. So if we're all one, then you're doing your part and I'm doing my part. I can't go to war because whatever issue I have that I can't go, fine. So then I'm going to do my part. My part is going to be davening. And we find a similar idea later on in the parasha. When Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven come to Moshe Rabbeinu and they have a wish to stay on the other side of the Eva Yadi, not to cross over, and they get such a Musar Shmus from Moshe Rabbeinu, wow, Moshe Rabbeinu gives it to them. And what's Moshe Rabbeinu's basic premise of his drasha? How can you forget your brothers? So the obvious question is, why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu say better? Why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu say, and you don't want to go to Eretz Yisrael? You don't love Eretz Yisrael? We've been talking about Eretz Yisrael every single day since we left Mitzrayim, and you don't care about Eretz Yisrael? The answer is Moshe Rabbeinu is teaching us a fundamental idea of being a Yid. Being a Yid is, how can you let your brothers go to a war and you're going to do nothing? You're going to sit on the other side enjoying your life, and they're going to go to war and they're going to die and they're going to lose limbs and things like that, and you're just going to sit on the side? That doesn't work. That was Moshe Rabbeinu's claim. Moshe Rabbeinu's issue with Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven was this ideology of your fellow brethren are going to go through a difficult situation and you're just going to sit on the sideline? That's going to be it? That's your answer to how you're going to deal with the war? So I think the Torah is reminding us in this week's parasha that what we are is yin, is that by nature we have to worry about other people. And saying to yourself, well, it doesn't affect me, it's not in my community, it's not my issue, it's not my problem, that's not an option. That's not a valid answer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Well, it's not my problem, it's not in my dalaramas, it's not in my house, it's not in my community, it's not in my shul, it's not my problem. No, that's not the answer. The answer is we're all part of one big family. Everyone knows in a family, and everyone that has children knows, not every child is exactly the same like the next child. Each child has their crazinesses and quirks and things that you have to put up with as a parent, but you love all your children, right? I'd like to believe, even with their weirdnesses and their strangenesses and their dress codes and their this, that, and the other, and they keep the fridge open and they run the water too long, all the other issues that kids do, we still love our children, because that's what it means to be in a family. parents love their children. So the same thing with Klai Yisrael. Well, we're one big family. Now, it doesn't mean we all look the same and dress the same, because no regular families are like that. You can't line up any family where every person looks exactly the same. Every sibling looks like the other sibling, and every sibling does the same job as the other sibling, and everyone has the exact same hashkafa. Of course not. That's the beauty. We're all somewhat different. But it doesn't mean a parent doesn't love, a parent only loves this child more than that child because this child followed his path in career life and this one didn't. I don't believe that's the case. I'd like to believe that parents love all their children because they're their children. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that same relationship that we have with him. We're all his children. Yes, we're all checkered and we all look different and we all act different and we all are different. That's okay. Our differences don't need to divide us. And perhaps that's why we read this right before, during these days of the 9 days. We have to remind ourselves that we are all one. As much of as different as we are, and we look different, and we act different, and we have different psukim, and we have different rabbanim, everything is fine. That's all great. But if we can't forget we're under the same banner. We're all under Am Yisrael. And that's, I think, the answer. The answer is, what does it mean to be part of Am Yisrael? It means to have a care and a concern for another Jew. One Jew suffering means we're all suffering. It doesn't matter where he is, what community he is, what group he is, how he dresses, how he looks. We're all one family. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes these things so seriously. When we're not looking out for each other, we're not worrying about each other, that's when we're held accountable. And again, I think we find another lesson from the story of Bnei Gad and Reuven. Now, we have to thank God and Reuven. Thank them, we got to learn the whole sugya of Mishpatei Tanoim. I think we spent quite a few weeks on that, of how to understand all the rules of Tanoim, all sponsored by Bnei Gad and Reuven. But what happened by Bnei Gad and Reuven? So Rashi points out that Moshe Rabbeinu gave them very subtle mussar. They came to Moshe Rabbeinu and they said, we want to stay here because it'll be good for our business. And then we'll have cities for our children. And when Moshe Rabbeinu gives back the message, he says, no, reverse it. You're going to have cities for your children and you'll also have, it'll be good for business. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, says Rashi, Moshe Rabbeinu is pointing out you're making a fundamental mistake. You're putting your business before your family has to go before your business. So many people ask this kasha, we talk like Bnei Gad and Reuven that like they didn't care about their kids. Like, okay, whatever. It's all about my job and I don't care about my kids. I don't care about the chinuch. How can we talk about Bnei Gad and Reuven like that? We have to assume that they were a much higher level than we were. And most of us know that doesn't sound like the right ideology for a firm person. So where did Bnei Gad and Reuven go wrong? Many pshatim are given. The pshat that I find is most relevant today is a pshat they say over Rebbe Henoch Leibowitz, the Rashi from Chafetz Chaim, one of his shmuzim said. He said, of course, Bnei Gad and Reuven came in with the purest of intention. They came to the table that we want to have a large area so we can work, so we can support our children, so we can send them to yeshivas, so we can buy the kosher food that's overpriced. Right? That was their cheshbon, no question. But after a while, what kind of happened is when you have an ikkar and a tuffel, so the ikkar was the Jewish education, the children, the tuffel was, I have to work to get there. Sometimes in life those things switch. And it starts to be that the tuffel becomes the ikkar. Because you forget, why am I working? You just know every day, I got to go to work, I got to make a lot of money. Now, why? So the first 3 days it was, why? So I can support my family and live a Jewish life. And after a while, kind of just got, I go to work because I go to work, and they lost sight on why they're doing what they're doing. They weren't bad people. And this is natural. Over time, we lose sight on what we're doing. If we take a step back and say, what am I doing? Why am I working so hard? What's the purpose? Am I working so hard just for the sake of working hard, just to get more money? Or am I working hard for the sake, because I know it's hard to live a Jewish life. If you want to be from today and you want to raise children and you want to help them live and survive and go to yeshiva and go to summer camp and go to seminary and go to Israel or whatever other things that cost a lot of money and make a Pesach, you got to work hard and you have to have the means to do so. But the mistake that they got ruined was they forgot what the main idea was. They lost focus. What exactly is it all about? We're working for one reason. We're working so we can live a Jewish lifestyle, not working for the sake of working. And that's why the Medrash says the first Shevet to go into Galus was Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven. Why? So I think the answer is based on a famous Gemara in the Darm. The Gemara says in the Darm, Amal Churva Beis HaMikdash, why was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed? So the Gemara says, Shalei Berchu B'Torah Tchila. They didn't make Berchas HaTorah first. So that's a simple meaning of the Gemara. So the simple pshat in the Gemara was they didn't make Berchas HaTorah, which means they only learned for the sake of intellectual stimulation. They didn't learn Lishma. But I saw once a pshat, I forgot where I saw it. Shalei Berchu B'Torah B'Tchila means they didn't give their children the bracha of Torah first. I mean, when you instill in your child's values, you have to instill in your child two values: the values of Torah and the values of going to work and getting a job and supporting for your family. But which is the first? Which is the more important focus? Says the Gemara, Shalei Berchu B'Torah Tchila. The first thing was, we'll call it, instead of doctor, rabbi, should have been rabbi, doctor. What's the most important thing? The most important thing is you have to be a frum yid and you have to live a Jewish life. A grad, you have to have a job. So go to work and get a job and you'll be whatever the job is. But it has to be what's first. The first is the Torah. Secondly, of course, you have to go to work, you have to have a job, you have to live a Jewish life. So if that's the case, and now you understand why Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven went into Gullus first. They had their values a little backwards. The government room was so focused on their money, on their business, they reversed that order. They were teaching their children, they were so pushing this idea of business for the sake of business instead of business as just a chatimsa to be able to live a Torah life. And that's why the Taka went to Galus, because the Gemara says that that's why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So Abhenach Leibowitz writes in the Sefer, he says, every once in a while we have to take a step back and ask ourselves, which direction am I going? Did I make the business the Iker, or did I make the Torah life the Iker? Whenever there's a tragedy, whether it be communal, local, or private, it's always a good idea to reflect. During the 9 days, it's a good time for us to reflect our life. Just take a step back and say to myself, okay, where am I going? Where am I heading in life? Am I following the Bnei God and Meruvin path and I'm focusing so much more on this than that? Or am I really part of the Moshe Rabbeinu ideology? My family comes first, but of course, I can't support my family if I don't have the means and the ability to do so. Abhenach Leibowitz writes, he says, if Bnei God and Meruvin can fall into that trap, Koshka, we can fall into that trap. It's a very easy trap to fall into, forgetting what's really it all about, what's important and what's not important. They say over Rabbi Saul Salanter, Rabbi Saul Salanter said a person can grow from a Tisha B'Av as much, if not more, than he can grow from a Yom Kippur. What's the pshat? The answer is it's a time of reflection. Whenever there's tragedy, it's a time to reflect. Over the next couple of days, and especially next Sunday, it's really a time to reflect, look back at life as a whole and say, forget, we'll put aside Klaus, look at me, where am I going? Am I following in a good path? Am I in the wrong path? What direction am I going? I think these are one of the things that we can ask ourselves, and it's a scary question to ask ourselves. A, what does it mean to be part of Am Yisrael? Do I care? Do I feel the tzara of another? Am I doing all that I can? And B, do I have my values right? Am I valuing the Bnei Gadim, the Reuven style of life that I'm putting business before family? And they say, the Medrash says that when Bnei Gad and Reuven came back, their kids weren't even religious anymore. They spent so much time on the other side because they had a deal. The deal was they had to go fight for Klai. So by the time they came back, these kids were without a father for so many years, they weren't even religious. They came back, they had Gaisha haircuts, and they were not religious because they weren't living, they didn't have a good role model at home. So it's a very difficult balancing act to be able to give over to our family the financial needs that a Jewish family needs today. It only grows every single day. This thing costs more money, that thing costs more money. It's very hard. We have to make sure we're sticking to our values and valuing what's really, truly important. Okay, we're holding over here in the Gemara. We're holding over here in the Gemara like this. Let's start from the beginning of the Gemara. Tana Rabban. Mila doiches atzeras, bein bezmani, bein shalei bezmani. If you have a mila with a tzeras, right? We know there's a violation to cut off a tzeras. We're going to discuss today at length what type of prohibition is that. Is it an asay and a lois asay, or is it just a lois asay? We'll see, it's a big machalikis b'shoinim. But there's some prohibition we all know that you're not allowed to cut off a tzeras. What happens if the tzeras happens to be at the exact same place where the mila is? So what do you do now? You're stuck. You got to cut off the mila, but you can't cut off the tzeras. So what do you do? So the Gemara says, "Rabban, mila doiches atzeras." No, don't worry about it. Mila pushes away the tzeras. Bein bismani, bein shle bismani. Whether it's a bris bismani or a bris shle bismani, it doesn't make a difference. As long as it's a bris, it would push away the idea of the isra of tzeras. Yomtif, but the idea of yomtif ain't a doiches bismani b'vad. There's no such thing as a bris on yomtif that's not bismani. A bris shle bismani is not doiches yomtif. Says the Gemara, "Minon Mila." How do we know what? The first thing, that tzeras beats, that tzeras loses to Mila, meaning if you have Mila, again, you have Mila up against tzeras. I have a mitzvah of Mila, I have an isser of tzeras, so the mitzvah of Mila beats out the isser of tzeras. How do you know that? So the Gemara says, "Yimol besar losay." Says in the Torah that you should cut off the besar or losay. Says the Gemara, "Vav pishiyasham beheris ikuts." I learned from this pasuk that even though there's a beheris on it, the Torah says cut, so I cut. Ah, there's a beheris on it, don't worry, just cut. So I didn't put it on this paper, I put it on last week's paper. So Rashi says, how do you see it from the pasuk? So Rashi learns that the word besar is extra. It should have just said yimol arlasai. We know where the arla is, we know what the arla is. Why do you have to say besar arlasai? So says Rashi, the chiddush is that the besar is extra. It teaches me that even if there's a tzaras on it, don't worry, cut it off and you'll cut off the tzaras as well. Says the Gemara, 1 second, umani mikayim yishom benegat tzaras. What do we do with the pasuk that says be careful with tzaras? Where it says that's Bishar Mikramis, Chutz Mimila. That's any tzaras. If you have a tzaras on your foot, you have a tzaras on your hand, don't cut that off. But if you have a tzaras that happens to be very inconveniently located on the Mokam Mila, and you happen to have a bris Mila on that day, so then you cut it off anyway. Maybe not. Maybe the prohibition of cutting off a tzaras applies even on the Makam Amila. What do you do with the pasuk of Yimah Basar Allah? That means when there's no Baharis, when there's no contradiction to the Torah. Tamad Loim Basar. It says the word Basar.
Darsh the same pasuk, one to include more and one to exclude.
What do you mean?
I mean, we're looking at the same pasuk. At first, we say even.
Thank you.
Even
tzaras.
Only when there's no
tzaras. Right. So the question is, when the Torah is discussing Mila, what's the background to the story? We just don't know. We don't know what's going on in the pasuk.
It's not dashing in the other way. It's just saying don't dash.
Right, right. Just saying don't take into consideration background information. So the Gemara says, Afnish. Meaning, when the Torah gives you the mitzvah of Mila, it's assuming there's no background information. After it would be background information, it's like, always, like, we have one piece of the Torah, you can't forget about everything else, we got to make everything work somewhat together.
Yeah.
We're going to get to that. Mitzvah Shem today. We're going to get into that very heavily sometime today, I hope. Blinata. Yeah, that's what I wanted to. That's why I left it parv and I said it's not clear what the violation is. If it's an asay and a lois asay, then ain't asay doche lois asay va asay. If we just be Allah, then we have Asay Dechal Asay. Blinada today, we're going to get into that extremely heavily. I hope we'll discuss this an issue in a Rambam. Okay, so the Gemara says, so what do I do? So Omar Rav, Haytano Meikara Mai Nichalei L'Besoif Makar Koshalei. Frank the Gemara, what was the thought process of this Gemara? Very strange Gemara. First we think to include Tzaraas, then we think not to include Tzaraas, then you throw in the word Besar to include Tzaraas. What was the thought process of the Gemara? So the Gemara explains, Hachi Kama. Says the Gemara, Hachi Kama. Yimo Besar Allah Saf Bishesham Beheres. Umani mikayim misham negat tzaras, misham mikayim mischutz mimila. Avam mila deyachet tzaras. My time, why should mila be deyachet tzaras? The asim be kal v'chaymer. Ah, kal v'chaymer. What's the kal v'chaymer? Ma Shabbos chamura. If we know Shabbos is more chamer than mila, how do we know Shabbos is more chamer than mila? Because you do mila on Shabbos, so mila deyachoy soy tzaras loykoshekin. If mila can beat out a Shabbos, shouldn't mila be able to beat out a tzaras? That's the kal v'chaymer of the Gemara. So which means the way you know that you can cut off a tzaras at the makam amila is because you could do so for Shabbos. If mila is deicha Shabbos, so mila is deicha tzaras. So we had the kasha last week from the Rishonim, the Rashba, the Ramban. That's a faulty kavachimer. Why? Because the Gemara said in the beginning that what type of mila is deicha tzaras? Mila bein bezmani bein shaloi bezmani. If you're telling me now that the whole mikar of where you learn out that mila beats out tzaras is because mila beats out Shabbos, but mila beats out Shabbos only in one case, only mila bezmani. So mila bezmani beats out Shabbos, so therefore mila bezmani beats out tzaras. But a mila shaloi bezmani, which does not beat out Shabbos, so how do you know it beats out tzaras? That was the kasha that Rishonim had, we mentioned last week. So the Rashba answered this kasha by saying, that's okay. As long as you find somewhere in the world that mila beats out Shabbos, that's good enough to show me that mila is already more chomer. This specific case of mila happens not to beat out Shabbos. Doesn't matter, says the Rashba. Once you prove to me that mila has in it the ability to beat out a Shabbos, it's already more chomer, it has the ability to beat out Tzaraas. That was the Rashba we spoke about a little bit last week. We'll see that the Ramban quotes the Rimagash, that the Rimagash says, no, this is a great kasha, this is a very strong kasha. Which is why we'll see in a second, the Gemara has two pshatim, and why mila beats out tzaras. Says the Rimagash, why the Gemara need a second pshat? Because the first pshat of the Gemara only works for a mila bizmane. And the Gemara itself was bothered. What do you do with the mila shalei bizmane? That's why the Gemara has a second pshat. So the Rimagash taka learns that this kasha is such a strong kasha, that that's why the Gemara had to come up with a new pshat, and why mila beats out tzaras. But according to the Rashba, it's a fundamental machalikish b'shainim. See the Rimagash and the Rashba. The Rimagash thinks that's not an answer. The fact that you found it in the family of mila, it's chomer in one case of mila, means it's chomer all over? No. Says the Rashba, yeah, that is good enough. The fact that mila beats out Shabbos bizmanoi is enough for us to say that mila shalei bizmanoi is also more chomer than tzaras. Okay, that was the Cheshbon
Nigma. Since it's Shabbos, but the Gemara uses
the pasuk. The question is, that's why we need. Well, see a second. That's what the Gemara is going to fear. One second. We're not done yet. 1 second. This is all the Havamina. The Havamina is I didn't need a pasuk because I have a Kavachoymer. Okay. Then the Gemara says, I stopped the middle. Then the Gemara says, fine. That's a nice Kavachoymer, except for the cash that we have from the Rishonim. Then the Gemara says, so umay einoy de ka'amar. So what was the other side of the Gemara? How the Kama? The Gemara says, no. We made the Shabbos Chamira. The Gemara says, your Kavach Chamira is flawed. Who told you Shabbos is more Chamer? Dilma Tzaraas Chamira. Maybe Tzaraas is more Chamer than Shabbos. Why? Shkein Deicha Es Avoida. Because a person who has Tzaraas can't work in the Beis HaMikdash. Va'avoida Deicha Es Shabbos. And avoiding the Beis HaMikdash does beat out Shabbos. So you see Tzaraas is more Chamer. So how do you have the right to make a Kavach Chamer? That Shabbos is more Chamer than Tzaraas. If it's from Mila Bita Shabbos, Mila Bita Tzaraas, maybe flip it. Maybe Tzaraas is more chomer. Where do you see Tzaraas is more chomer? Because Tzaraas makes it that a kohen can't work in the Beis HaMikdash. And we know avoiding the Beis HaMikdash beats out Shabbos. And yet, Tzaraas beats out working in the Beis HaMikdash. So 1 + 1 equals that Tzaraas is more chomer than Shabbos.
You can't say kasha, not all of them beats out Shabbos.
That's right. I guess you have the same kasha there also, right? It's not true. But again, the idea is that according to the Rashba, it's very nice. It's the principle that's doicha Shabbos. So that's the Gemara's kasha. So what does the Gemara end off? You're right. Because I have no real kal v'chaymer, I need to come on to a pasuk. So the Gemara's shak v'tai was, do I have a kal and a chaymer over here? Is Shabbos and Mila a kal v'chaymer, or is it not? Says the Gemara, I can't conclude because I have two sides. You know what? Gzeres HaKosov. Gzeres HaKosov teaches me that Mila is Doichet Saras. Now, that's the first pshat in the Gemara. Now, Lishna Achrina. Now, the Gemara is another pshat. Mila Doichet Saras my time. Do Osi Asei, V'dochi Lois Asei. Based on the principle of Asei, Doichet Lois Asei. Okay, that sounds pretty right. The idea of Asei, Doichet Lois Asei. Because what? Mila is a mitzvah Asei. Saras is a lav. So Asei, Doichet Lois Asei. Let's see Rashi quickly. Number four, Zog Rashi. Bein shaloi bezmanik in katan choylevim tino le'achi sheyevri. You have a katan. What's a shaloi bezmanik bris? You have a katan that was unhealthy, and you have to wait till it gets better. Besaz Zog Rashi ribuyehu. It's an extra word of the drasha. Lishna achrina my time. Osi asay v'dochi lois. I say my time. Amilu deichet saras. Dosi asay diimol v'dochi lois. I say dihishomer l'cha. He's learned that the words hishomer l'cha. Again, you're not going to find anywhere in the Torah where it says loy tachrisu. It doesn't say explicitly in the Torah, don't cut it off. What it does say in the Torah is, Hishomer lecha, guard it. And we know that whenever it says the words, Hishomer, pen, va'al, those are all loisasis. It says Rashi, Hishomer lecha, dochi kaimel, per kamet yivam, mister osi asei, bedochi loisasei. Fine, beautiful. So Mila beats out Saras based on the principle of asei, decha loisasei. So the Gemara says, okay, so what was the whole tumult about? That seems pretty straightforward. Anyone who learned Yevamos knows. I say, Dechalais, I say, what was the back and forth? Or maybe not, or maybe yes, or maybe this. So why was the Gemara not clearer? Says the Gemara, how the Gemara aim at that meaning, I say, Dechalais, I say, Loisase, Greda. That's only if it's just a Loisase. Hi, I say, Veloisase, who? But this is not like that. This, meaning Tzaraz, is an Ase with a Loisase. Okay, so if it's an asay with a lois asay, then there's no more rule of asay derech a lois asay. Oh, so Rashi, what's the asay? Hi asay v'lois asay. Who's Rashi number four? Hishomer lois asay. Who? V'lasay skechol asher yoru hainu asay. So Rashi says at the end of that pasuk, it says, and you have to guard all that was ruled. That somehow is an asay to cutting off tzaras. So hold off. We're going to have to come back to this hopefully in a few minutes. We'll get back into this in a second.
According to Rashi, every tzaras is an
asay. So according to Rashi, every tzaras is an asay and a lois asay. So you can't say asay derech a lois asay v'asay. So therefore the Gemara is troubled. So what do you do now?
And the lois asay is what?
Hishomer. Guard the tzaras, which from there we learn that whenever the Torah says hishomer, it's even though it's a positive, it has the status of a lav. So that's the lav. So you have a lav and an asay. Yeah.
Don't we only say asay del chalos asay daf when it's pavas achas, meaning that they come at the same time? But here it's really not.
Why not?
Because at the end of the day, Mila is on the eighth day. The tzaras has been there the whole time.
No, but the cutting of it, the issur cutting it will happen the moment you cut the Mila. The moment you cut the Mila, you're going to be violating the tzaras.
So it goes on the cutting,
not right. It comes to the shait of the issur. At the time when I'm going to do this mitzvah, I'm going to violate the issur.
So the chalos asay in that thing in the mouth?
No. Well, there might be kares, but no lois asay. We'll talk about that.
Where is that?
That's written by Tzaras.
Yes. Yeah, so
okay, good.
Exactly.
We're going to get to that in a second. Oh, not a second. That hopefully should be relevant when we discuss the Shitas HaRambam, hopefully, Belina, in a few minutes. So what does the Gemara end off? Fine. So now it's no longer I say the Chalais say. So I umani mekayim yimah b'sar alosay. So back to the question. So what do we do with the Pasuk? Bizman shayim b'heres. Tamaloyim b'sar. So you got to go back to b'sar. V'af b'sheshon b'heres, even though there's a b'heres.
Is there more than one mitzvah say?
Oh, good. So we're going to see that in the Rishayim. We know there's, we know Mila is always a special mitzvah. You give him a brises. We know Mila stands out. So we'll see if that has effect on the sugi as well also. But again, just push up shot in the Gemara.
I understand this whole thing.
Yeah.
The end of Tzaraz is the good.
Right.
You can't even get to first base because of Tzaraz. And Shabbos is more of an abstract, like, step back. How can you compare something that, like, sort of like a gavra and a chesed? How can you compare something that's a mum in the good? You can't even do anything because of that mum. Whether you compare it to Avodah or whether you compare it to Shabbos or whatever, but Shabbos is just something that happens, whether it's kadosh or not.
And so you're asking on the Kal V'Chomer, you're asking on.
I'm asking on the whole Indian. How do you?
Which way?
The
Kal V'Chomer. You don't think it's stomach? We're comparing apples to oranges.
I don't even see how you get to first base.
I mean, the svar of the Gemara was is that if I see, we're trying to figure out what's stronger, which mitzvah beats out which. So if Mila beats out Shabbos, so Mila is stronger than Shabbos,
right.
So then Mila is stronger than Saras. So you're saying that's not comparable.
It's not comparable. Once for goof, you can't even get to first base. You have something wrong with your goof. You can't even get to Shabbos or to
No, but why don't you look at it the same way? Shabbos says I can't pick up the scalpel and cut off the Mila. And Mila says, no, don't listen. So why shouldn't Mila then say don't listen to the violation of cutting off the Saras?
But you don't get the Saras
during a Mila.
You don't have Mila. You have to get that Tzaraas. No matter when you do it.
You're saying there's no mitzvah of Mila when there's a Tzaraas on the Mila?
There's a mitzvah, but
it's like you can't do it. I mean, something's stopping you, just like Shabbos is stopping you. You have a block. You have a blockade, right? You want to do the mitzvah, but Shabbos says you can't pick up the knife. So I want to do the milah, but Tzara says I can't pick up the knife. So the Gemara thought that if Shabbos loses to milah, so the Tzara should lose to milah. That's the svar of the Gemara. Now, where we're holding now in the Gemara, it seems like what? That milah is an asay, Tzaras is an asay, veloisa asay, and asay is not the chaloisa save asay. That's why, what? Tamaloy mabisar. That's why we need a pasuk. We need a pasuk because why? It's an asay versus a loisa asay vasay. So the Rashba has a kasha, number 3, frek the Rashba. I don't get it. The Gemara didn't know there's a pasuk in the Torah that says that Tzaras is an asay, veloisa asay. Why'd you waste our time? You made it sound like, oh, it's an asay, the chalois asay. What do you mean? It's a, you know the pasuk Yishomer is a lav, so you should have read the end of the pasuk which says kachal asher yaru, and know that that's a lois asay, that's an asay. So what was even the havamin of the Gemara? So the Rashba asks number 3, koshali, umekar manichale, devade loy asay, asay, vadech asay, vadech asay, demay ul mehay asay, mehay asay. Blineder, in 2 weeks from now, we have to discuss asay, the chalois asay, we all know. So why is not asay, the chalois asay, vadech? The answer is the asay is getting the trouble. The assays are the problem. Assay can knock out the lois assay, but an assay can't knock out another assay. That's what we'll get into.
It's certainly not an assay and a lois assay.
No. The way it works is that the assay knocks out the lav. That's fine. But he's still left with an assay. I still let the assay knock out the assay. No, those two guys are equal. Now, the obvious question is, why is an assay stronger than a lav? If we had to pick which is a stronger thing, we would have picked the stronger thing as the lav, not the assay. But that's the idea. Blined, we'll talk about the Ramban Chumash Pashas Yisrael. We'll hold that off for a different time. But the Rashi was saying, so if Tzaras is an assay and a lois assay, and Mil is just an assay, what was the half of the Gemara? The Gemara is a whole 5 lines. It's asay the chalais. No, it's not asay the chalais. What was even the havamina? So the Rashba throws in a very important nekuda over here. Yeshloima the dilma havisvirulei the kiven the asay the mila chomer the isbakaris. Maybe there's a wild card over here. You're right. Maybe even in the havamina the Gemara knew that mila is an asay and saras is an asay v'lois asay. And we have a principle, when you have asay versus lois asay v'asay, you can't push it off because my ul mei hay asay mei hay asay. Why is one asay more important? Says the Rashi, maybe bris is taka more important. There's something so special about the mitzvah bris that what? It carries karis.
It has a shame lav because
of karis. Well, I'll tell you what, now, keep in mind, which bris has karis? Not all bris have karis, right? And even karis might only happen if you never end up doing it. We'll talk a little later from the Sanze Rebbe. There's a nice piece about this in a second. But the Rashba is telling us very clearly that I would have had a havamina that Mila beats out Saras because Mila carries karis, even though Mila is only an asay and Saras is asay veloisas. Then he says another pshat. V'oid, the nechus olea yud gimel brisas. We throw this around often. We'll see it again. Taisus talks about it. Mila is unique because it says 13 times in the Torah bris, so that makes bris a unique mitzvah. So even though normally asay is not the chalei to save asay, I would have thought over here it is kamash mulan that it's not. So if it's not, why does mila beat out saras? Simply because of the pasuk says besar. That's the way the Gemara seems to read. We'll see in a few minutes. That's not the way the Rambam learned the Gemara, but that seems to be the simple way of reading the Gemara. The simple way of reading the Gemara is that mila is an asay, saras is asay v'lois asay. Asay is not the chalei asay v'lois asay. So that's why you need the pasuk of besar. Okay.
Let's give gimel brisos. This has halachic significance.
Yeah, sure.
Here. Elsewhere?
Yeah, the Gemara quotes it. When the Gemara talks about drushes and pirchas, the Gemara always throws around this svar. And we will talk Belined a little bit more today about it. Hopefully in 2 weeks we'll talk more about it. How far does this go? To what extent? And things like that. Now let's read a shtickle more Gemara, and then we'll come back and try to figure everything out. The Gemara continues. Says the Gemara that, how do I know Mila's Deichat Tziras? Because it says the word Besar. So the Gemara has a problem. Not every type of Mila does it say the word Besar. Right, the Gemara. Tenech Godel. That's fine and dandy when you're talking about an adult who gets a bris mila. The pasuk with the Torah discusses giving a bris to someone who's already post 8 days. It says the word besar. Kata namik sivbe. By a kata, and it also says the word besar. But beinani minolon. What do you do with someone who's a beinani? Now, who's a beinani? So you have an 8-day-old baby and then you have a gadol. What's the in-between? So Rashi learns over here. Tenach gadol. What's a gadol, Zagrashi? Bar oinshim. He's someone who's bar oinshim. The chsiv bay by him it's written besar for oral zochar shelo yimol as besar olasoy for high be bar oinshim ishtoy. That the pasuk is talking about someone who gets a punishment mid the mechayiv lekaris because he gets karis. So what do you see? We're talking about a gadol. Now, if you read this Rashi, what would you call a gadol? What age?
20.
That's only because you know you only get karis at 20.
Yeah. No, right. Because it's bar oinshim. Yeah.
Right, but Rashi doesn't say gadol means gadol. Normally means 13. Normally gadol means 13. We don't call a gadol a bar chaf. So that's the problem with this Rashi. Rashi sounds like that when we're talking about a gadol, he's 13 and yet he's still chayiv karis. Everyone knows you don't get karis until 20. So how do we make this work? So we'll have to see in a second. The katan zagrashi nama bismana biyameshmini ksebe besar or biyameshmini yimob besar losing. But the bainini, what do you do with the middle guy? Who's the middle guy? Kigoin shaloi bismanoi. The baby is not yet bismanoi. The lav barainchim, and he's not yet barainchim. Let's say the kid's 10 years old. So there's no oinchim yet at 10, but he's already past the 8 day old. Zagrashi v'lav barainchim v'aviv mitzvah v'alav, and the father has the obligation to give him the bris milah. That's nafkala from a different pasuk. Mehim olachem kol zachar. Doesn't say the word besar there. So how do you know such a milah is deichat saras? If the only way you know milah is deichat saras is from the actual word besar, so why don't you say wherever it says it, it says it. Wherever it doesn't say it, it doesn't say it. So the Gemara gives the classic Jewish answer. The Gemara says no. What?
What the Rashba says.
Now what?
As long as you have a time that there is besar, so it'll work even when it's
no, but here it's a riba yakra. You can only use a riba where it says it. If the Torah wrote an extra word besar to teach me, so can I only say it where the Torah wrote it? I can't apply it to where the Torah didn't write it. So what you're saying is similar to the Gemara's answer. So what's the Gemara's answer? No, learn it at Tzad HaShava. Amr Abaya Asim Bi Bein Yonim Bi Godol. Asim Bi Bein Yonim Bi Godol Lo Yaseh Shkein Einish Karis. Because only Asir Shekein Milah Bezmanik. Each one can't learn that from the other one individually, because each one has a Tzad Choymer. Hatzad HaShav and Shavahem will learn it out together. Shekein Nimolim V'deich HaNetziraz Avkol Shein Nimolim V'deich HaNetziraz. So the Gemara says, you're right, that middle-aged guy is stuck. He has no extra pasuk. He can't learn it just from a katan. He can't learn it just from a gadol. He'll learn it together. That's what we always do. When you can't learn one from one, you learn out from one from two things. Put the two together. Their differences cancel out. And you're able to learn out from a tzad hashave that all types of rismila are doiche the tzaras. Okay. So we pointed out before in this Rashi, that Rashi seems to be saying that a bar einchim is karis. And Rashi seems to be talking about a gadol, so that would imply that already at 13, someone gets cursed. We know the famous Rashi Chumash number 5. Rashi Parshas Chayei Sarah writes about Chayei Sarah. Why does the Torah give us the details, the ages of Sarah? So Rashi says, Ma bas kuf ke bazayin lechet, ma bas chof lechoto, shari ina bas oinshim. So Rashi says, 20 is the first time you can be oinshim. Av bas kuf belechet, u bas chof ke bazayin leyefi. So this Rashi sounds like the first time you can get Karis is 20. Rashi Bell sounded like it was already at 13. How do we make these two things work? So there's a tshuva from the Chacham Tzvi, where the Chacham Tzvi debunks this theory that everyone knows that you can only get Karis at 20. He says, it's not true. Who said that? Show it to me. Prove it to me, says the Chacham Tzvi. And the Chacham Tzvi was a very novel thinker, very out of the box. Very out of the box thinker. Says the Chacham Tzvi, prove it to me. Vushtet. Where does it say in Chazal they can only get Karis at 20? So he writes in it. What?
Rashi.
It's Rashi Chumash, right? So, now again, you can always get out of it by saying this was all before Matan Torah. This was before Matan Torah. This was talking about
the Meisei Midbar.
Meisei Midbar, because it says 20 there also, right?
Different.
Could be. So he quotes like this. You know, the truth is, there's really a Gemara. I shouldn't say there's really a Mefurshe Gemara in Shabbos. We'll see how the Chacham Tzvi kind of throws that away. So says the Chacham Tzvi, Vav im nisbo dochi ma yoyim ha-rabbi dir ha-rami, has a Rambam that says, V'chol yoyim v'yoyim shi'yavar olav mishiyagli. He says, 1 second. We know this can't be true. Why? Because the Rambam says that every single day you delay the bris, harehu mevatel mitzvah saseh. You mevatel mitzvah saseh, but aval ena chayv karis et shiyomus. A person is not chayv karis until he dies, v'hu arul b'mezit. So he says, what are you talking about? How can you be chayv karis every single day? You're not 20 yet. Kid's 13 years old, he doesn't want to get a bris milah. So like the Rambam, he's chayv karis every day. In theory, except he doesn't get the karis because no one gets karis till the end. What do you mean? You can't get karis until you're even 20. How can the Rambam even talk about giving karis to someone until he hits 20? He says, "V'chein ha'rayvich yisigal of kasev the chol yom oimid beis hakaris trevayus filu the mishehigdil haray ben karis." So both the Rambam and the Ravid, the Rambam and the Ravid have a side machloikis. They have a machloikis. Do you get the karis right away, or the karis doesn't happen until the last minute before you die because you can always fix it? But everyone agrees that mishehigdil, once a person turns a gadol, he gets karis. What do you mean? I thought karis is not till 20. So says the Chacham Tzvi from the Rambam and the Ravid that it's not so. A person can get karis before 20.
The whole thing with karis is weird though, by a bris, because by other averis, if you get karis, you did it, and you're getting a karis of what you did.
Right, here's for the lack of
it. You can always fix it.
That's the Ravid's argument.
How do you even get karis? How do you know?
That's the Rambam's argument. The Rambam says you can't give the guy karis until he dies.
And even
because he can always, every minute he can fix it. It's not too late. By another issue, he did the issue, done, over. But here, he could always fix it. He didn't do it today, so how can you kill him today? Let him do it tomorrow. That's the Machlokes Rambam and Ravid. Blinet, we'll discuss it a little bit more.
No karis says a lav that's nigba say.
No
karis can be fixed other than a lav karis of carbon
pesach. Right.
Carbon pesach can't be fixed.
Right. Usually, normal types of karis, it's over. You did the deed, or you didn't do it, and it's finished.
You can't.
Usually not. Fixed. Right. 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 Here, it's fixable. It's a funny thing.
Carbon pesach, you can't.
That's right. Correct.
You need to delay the car. I know. Delay until you die. Isn't that
So there's also, so there's other types of, there's other forms of it. There's children, ariri, things like that. So I guess that will be affected. I guess, yeah.
Is there any other say that has curry with it? Pesach, carbon Pesach, eating chametz on Pesach.
Eating chametz on. That's all. I mean, carbon Pesach. Sorry, carbon Pesach.
Carbon Pesach
and meal both have carbs.
But carbon Pesach,
yeah, it's over. Right, it's over. Right. There's no makeup date here. You always have a makeup date. Says the Chacham Tzvi Aydin Gemara. There's a Gemara in Shabbos that pay test. The Gemara is talking about the years of a person, and the Gemara says skip out the first 20 years. Why? Dal Esrin Shnin. And people like to think, oh, the first 20 years didn't count because I was a kid and I was childish and I was foolish and made childish mistakes. So those don't hold accountable for us. That's not what the Gemara says exactly. The Gemara says, but delay anshis alai. You don't get out, you don't get punished for it because you're under 20. So says the Chacham Tzvi, it's against me. Yeah, divrei agadahim. It's a drush. It's not a halacha. Says the Chacham Tzvi. That's drush. Drush. I'm not overly nispal for.
Can we use that or?
So he concludes. Kam atam shepirshu will be yosef pachas mebenchav vezelin is daiti boru tal kol ponim shayich or nishkaris bepachas mebenchav nami. Says the Chacham Tzvi. He thinks it's not true. This day that everyone knows, every Jew knows, you don't get kares until 20. Says the Chacham Tzvi. He thinks it's not true. Now the truth is, it's a beforish Rambam pirsha mishnayis against the Chacham Tzvi. And the newer Chacham Tzvi's in the back, they have Ha'aris. So in the back over there, someone pointed this out, that there's a Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayis that's Mefurish against the Chacham Tzvi. What did the Rambam write in Pirush HaMishnayis? This is at the end of Pirush HaMishnayis in Perek Zayin. He writes, Mashmois HaShas Shom Perek Peitas, Da'al Atzun Shalindu La'in Shalu V'ayin Rashi Shom, Raya Midar HaMidbar, right? There's a Raya from the Dar HaMidbar. V'ayin HaMizrachi Rashi Chayisar, that's the Rashi that we quote off, the way the Mizrachi talks about that Rashi. Sha'akodesh Baruch Hu Lo'yanish HaChayiv Kareis Ela Acher Esrim Shana. That HaKodesh Baruch will not punish Kareis until after 20 years. V'ayin Hefesh B'zeh B'ayin Tzcharim L'Nekevis. It makes no difference, male or female, nothing happens till after 20. So there are those who want to shuttle the Rambam. He didn't say, you don't get kares. He says there's no practical kares. Maybe there's a siba for kares already at 13. But you don't...
I have kares, right.
Exactly. That's the way they want to read this Rambam. That's not such a problem. That the Lashon of the Rambam is very meduic. He writes, lo ya'anish. Doesn't mean you don't get it. The kares hovers over your head, and 7 years later, Kodesh Baruch Hu gives the kares. Not the pshat that you're not chayiv the kares. Meaning, if a person does something wrong at 14, he's going to pay for it at 20. As opposed to doing something wrong at 14, you won't pay for it at all,
so
even at 20.
If you didn't get your kares at 13... and you don't implement it until 20, but you got in the interim, shouldn't you get kares?
According to this, you should get kares. According to Rashi, I think you would. According to Rashi, Godel means 13. That after 13...
Not the Rambam,
right, I'm saying, but according to Rashi,
you would get
according kares. According to Rashi, a guy who's 13 and a half and decides I'm not interested in getting a bris, he'd at least be mechayev kares. You have to deal with the machalik, Rambam and Ravid,
no,
but from a kares point, he would be subjected to kares. Okay.
But what happened? It's a little side.
Yeah.
So by the Korban Pesach, once you miss it, whatever, so you get kares. So you're going to live a year shorter than you would have lived, whatever the thing.
Whatever's going to be, right.
But by bris, if you do eventually fix it, so what happens to the kares?
No, there is none. That's the machlokes Rambam and Ravid. The Rambam and Ravid
argue. So then his question is, if you're 13, you do it, then you're 16 and you do it, so
fix it. Right, right. What I meant to say is that you chayv kares, theoretically there'd be a chi of kares. The question just is, you have to argue with the Rambam and Ravid how that works. As opposed to if you assume like Rashi and Chumash that a 14-year-old can never get kares, so the question of giving him kares will only start at first when he hits 20. As opposed to the Rambam.
What about Gadol? Right. So now you're 20, you're 25, and you still don't do it. So
right.
You're high of kares.
Right.
But it hasn't happened yet.
Right.
Right. And then you have your bris.
So then
that would wipe out the kares.
So therefore, you're not really chayiv kares yet. That's what the Rambam and Ravid have this fundamental argument. How can you ever say you're chayiv kares if it's always fixable?
But that's right.
That's the argument. How can you be mevatel l'aseh until it's too late? Because any minute you could do it. So how can you call it your mevatel l'aseh? So the Sanze Rebbe over here has a piece in Divrei Chaim.
Very rarely do we quote
the Sanze Rebbe on a Sunday morning show. But this is a nice piece over here. He has a kasha. Someone said, on 7b, the next page. Someone sent the Sanze Rebbe the following kasha. He writes that someone showed me this week there was a manuscript of something from the Sanze Rebbe that just sold on the market this week for $95,000. $95,000 for something. I think it was a manuscript, something the Rebbe wrote, something the Rebbe did. $95,000. Unbelievable. Okay? I was a few dollars short, but...
Yeshu didn't buy it?
I don't know. That's a lot of money for something. I forgot what it was. He showed me a copy of it. I think it was something the Rebbe wrote again. It was bought by a chassid, for the record. It wasn't bought by a Litv Shigai. I didn't want you to think, Moisi Laz.
How's he wasn't printed before?
Right, right. This must have been something really doozy. $95,000. It's an expensive piece of paper, that's for sure. Okay, in any case, so the Sanzer Rebbe was asked if you believe in it and you have extra money. Again, the argument may be you should have used that to feed people that eat food. Okay, it's, it gets very tricky with these types of questions. Baruch Hashem, I don't have that in the sign. I don't have $95,000 to throw around, but it's a tough call what to do. Okay, so the Sanzer Rebbe was asked the following question. There's a Taisus in Zvachim. There's a Taisus in Zvachim where Taisus has the following principle. Taisus in Zvachim says that an asei is not doich alois asei vasei unless the asei carries karis. Taisus has this chiddush that the asei carries karis, so then we do say asei doich alois asei vasei, which makes a lot of sense what we saw from the Rashba. That was really what the Rashba told us. The Rashba really told us that the havmin of our Gemara was that if you can come up with a mila in the asei, then it could push off another asei. So the kasha, the fellow sent the shout to the Sanzer Rebbe, and he asked him, one second, according to that, Taisus and Zvachim, what's Pshat Ar Gemara? Ar Gemara concluded what? That Saras is an Asay and Alois Asay. Mila is only an Asay. Mm-hmm. And Asay is not the Chalais Asay Vasay. End of story. So why does Mila beat out Saras? Because you have a special Xeris Akasav of Bizar. So Frek the shayl to the Sanzer Rebbe, what do you mean? According to Taisus and Zvachim, it should be able to work because Asay of Karis. Mila has an Asay of Karis. Now that's a very loaded question. We know Mila carries Karis, but which type of Mila carries the Karis? So says the Sanzer Rebbe, number 7b, in the left corner, he writes like this. Veikshu the divri ha-tayis d'zvachim d'flamet gimel sha'asei d'bris sha'asei d'karis d'ich elois ha-sei v'asei imkein lomali b'sa'ar b'godl. Why do I need the pasuk of b'sa'ar at least by a godl? Okay, a cut and there's no Karis. Who gets the Karis? This we spoke about many times. The 8th day, the baby's now on his 9th day. Who's going to get the karis? Dad's going to get a karis? No. Baby's going to get a karis? No. Who gets the karis? So it's a karisless bris. So says the Sanzer Rebbe, well, at least a gadol. The kid's 13 and a half. Again, putting aside what we just argued about 2 minutes ago. Let's make it simple. The kid's 21 and a half. That's karis right away. Boom. There's a karis attached to that asay. This asay, this kid needs to get a bris milah, not just because it says in the Torah, get a bris milah. You need an asay because it carries karis. So the shayel asked the Sanzer Rebbe, so why do I need a pasuk? Haloi belav, ochi asay the karis, deich asay velois asay. What do you mean? Why do I need a pasuk of Bisar? Let's go back to Taisus and Zvachim's rule. Asay the karis beats that asay velois asay. Everything is good. So it says this.
I understand from a practical standpoint, if the guy didn't get a bris till now, right? And he's got saras. So I understand for every minute you're over, you get karis. At the end of the day, guy, you waited 21 years. I mean, wait till the tsaras passes, and then there's nothing to talk about. All of a sudden, you're going so crazy about this one thing.
Right, he's got curse every minute, every day. He's got curse.
Yeah, but for the last 21 years, it didn't bother him.
Now he wants to be a frumma guy. He went to Eretz Yisrael. He went to yeshiva. They educated him. He learned to love the mila, and now he's flipping out. He doesn't know what to do now. Every day he's flipping out. He wants to do. So he said like this. Zokta Sanzer Rebbe. Well, if he is daiti, ain't a asay shakaris begadol. So says the Sanzer, your assumption is incorrect. You're assuming, perhaps initially correctly, that Mila carries an asay of karis, which that much we all know. It says that in the Torah somewhere. Says the Sanzer Rebbe, but it's not so simple. Why? Because this old Rambam that we just touched upon in the Chacham Tzvi, because the Rambam writes in Achas Mila, the chol yom b'yom shiavro lov mishiagdol, every day that you delay. Once you become a god of a yimol, it's atzma, I raise him a vatal mitzvah sasei. That's a bitl mitzvah sasei. Avalein chayiv karis achi yimol. He's not chayiv karis until he actually, achi yomos, I'm sorry, for who oral bemezit. So this is the Rambam sheet. The Rambam says that karis hangs over, but it's not a practical karis because you can always fix it. The guy will not get karis until he actually dies. Vim Kain says the Sanzer Rebbe calls man shle meis, aim a karis claw. So tiny the Sanzer Rebbe, it's not true. You're assuming that Mila carries an asay of karis. It's not true. Now, we could argue the other Rashba that we mentioned, that there is karis somewhere in the family of Mila. Sanzer Rebbe is not assuming like that. So he writes, Vimkin calls man shalei meis, ein ba karis klal. Until a person dies, there's no karis. That's why the Gemara never really says that Mila is considered an asay sheish ba karis. Rakhlin yavet pircha, and that's when you talk about pirchos, like neilof mineilof ha'atar kula, that's the dechalai to say, we'll have to come back to that. Tishom in the Mila have asay sheish ba karis, hainu tzad karis mevorsham. Avalin sheyidcha asay v'lois, it says it sounds right, but with the power of dechiyah, with the lumbus of dechiyah, ein adecha asay kazurak, Pesach, mekomach mishum lo yakiv yishchayv karis, that's an immediate, karim Pesach, it's right away. Kicks in automatically. But this karis doesn't kick in automatically. So therefore, says the Sanzer Rebbe, that would be the answer to the kasha of it's a different type of a karis. Now, it should all be totally what we spoke about before.
So it's not tofu.
Right. And therefore, it's not considered... Right. It's not considered an asay sheish b'karis because the karis doesn't kick in automatically, immediately. As opposed to other, like Karban Pesach, where the asay kicks in the moment you didn't bring the Karban Pesach.
According to that that it doesn't kick in until you die. How exactly does that work?
Right, so there's going to be a different type of punishment. The karis will carry, I guess, it'll affect the children and things like that. It will affect the next generation somehow. So that's the sense of it.
An assay of karis is there, a list assay. All he means is an assay of the karm.
That's right, that's right.
I should have just said.
That's right.
Karm Pesach.
Right, that's what he said.
Sure.
Right, that, yeah, that's his assumption. So again, this is, Blin and I will have to deal with this in a second, but this is an important you said. We have on one end, we have the Rajba, who says as long as there's karis somewhere in Mila, that's good enough. And on the other end, the Sanz Rebbe is tiny. No, it has to have karis attached to it specifically in order for it to be able to say, Asay Dech Alayis, Asay Vasi. Okay.
So according to the Sanz Rebbe, you would not be able to cut off the Tzara.
Right, and that's why you need a Pasuk. That's why you need the Pasuk of Basan. Okay.
What about a Ger?
So a Ger is supposed to get a bris when he becomes Jewish. Whenever he does Kabbalah and Mitzvahs and Tefillah, at that time he gets the bris. That's when he gets his bris mila usually. We spoke about, I think a while back, there was a deacon in Rambam somewhere that he doesn't have to do it immediately. He does it whenever he's ready. You know, if he wants to become Jewish on a Monday, so on Monday he'll.
So he can certainly wait.
So could he? I would assume, right? He probably has no He has no karis, right? He has no keys to cut the tzaras either. So he kind of can clean himself up, and then he'll become Jewish. Oh, yeah. He'll remove the tzaras. Okay, so if we learn the Gemara Kipshut, everything is fine and dandy. But we know that's not the way it works here. But we have a Shver Rambam over here. Okay, so we're holding over here. So in the Gemara, the Kipshut in the Gemara led us to the conclusion that what? That Mila is an Asay, Tzaras is Asay Veloys Asay, and Ein Asay Dech Veloys Asay Vasay. Im Kain, why does Mila be that Tzaras? Mila be that Tzaras only because of the reason of this Exerce Kos of Besan. Fine. There's only one problem, the Rambam Shita. If we look over in the Rambam number 8 in Hilchas Mila, the Rambam writes the following. Mila bizmane Dech Ese Shabbos. Mila bizmane pushes away Shabbos. Ushalei bizmane Ein Dech Veloys Ese Shabbos Veloys Ese Yomtif. But if the Mila is Shalei bizmane, then it doesn't push away Shabbos and Yomtif. But whether it's bizmane, it's not bizmane, doiches atzeras. No matter what, whenever the bris will take place, it will be doiches atzeras. Ketzad, how do you know, Zok the Rambam? Ketzad, what does this mean? Shem hoisa baheris bar ha'arlo. If you happen to have a baheris on the skin where you got to cut off, choytechas ha'arlo. You cut it off with the arlo. The af bishak titzas negat atzeras below yisaseh. Ay, fact the Rambam, you're not allowed to do so. That's alav. Yav yaseh v'yitches lo yisaseh. Zok the Rambam works with aseh doiches lo yisaseh. That's not what our Gemara said. The Gemara says exactly the opposite. The Gemara thought like this in the Havamina. The Gemara said, you can say this. Why can't you say this? Because it's not true. Because Taras is Asay Vilois Asay. And that's why you exist because of a Bissar. So how could the Rambam write that Mila is Deichet Taras because of Asay Vilois Asay?
He must not hold by the end of the book.
Oh, exactly. So he changed something up. We'll have to see where exactly he changed things up. Let's look at another Rambam. The Rambam is in Hilchos Tumas Taras. So again, if you read our Gemara Kipshutai and someone asked you, what violation would one violate if he cuts off a tzaras? So the simple answer is, it's an asay and a lois asay. That's what the Gemara told us. Right? Talk to Rambam and Hilchot Tzaras. The lois asay is from Hishomer, and the asay is from the word, right, Yorah Kachol Asher, Belasis Kachol Asher.
Are they really the same, right?
Well, okay, but the Gemara by us told us.
How is that different?
What? Why one is a lav and one's an asay? Because he's shomer.
It's the same non-action.
Because the Gemara has a rule, the word he's shomer, pen va'al, those three words, wherever you find them in a pasuk, always mean a lav. Even though they don't sound like it, he shomer sounds like guard and not to, right. But guard means not to do something. Then when it says to do, right, it says over there, v'lasa is kechol ha'sheyoru. You have a positive commandment to do what you're supposed to do. What does it mean, do what you're supposed to? Not cut off tzaras. So that's how we come. Now we'll talk more about it. Hold off. Hopefully we'll get to it today. We'll see why that's
an important. Not kind of safe every mitzvah in the Torah.
Okay, good. Hold off.
Like Shamar and Zohar and Shabbos are kind of the same thing, but they mean different.
No. Good. So what's
that? So they have different explanations.
So we'll see. Hold off. We'll get to it. We'll see. I think we'll answer what's bothering you hopefully in a few minutes. Zog the Rambam Hilchos Tzaras. Hakoytes hanega kula mibsar. If a person cuts off an entire nega, oy min abegel, oy min abayis. If you cut off a nega either on skin, clothing, or home, bein koyd mishava the koyin, bein b'teicha hisker, b'teicha hechlet, ayacha apitur. No matter when you cut it off, before the koyin, whatever the story is, Zog the Rambam, hareze oyver beloysa se. Yoyver alav. Shenema yishome b'nega tzaras lishma void. Alav says kachol hashayura se yishayoru eschem. What's the kash in the Rambam? Where's the assay? What happened to the assay? The Rambam is, this is the Rambam Lashitasai. The Rambam is clearly of the opinion that Tzaras only carries a lav, it does not carry an assay. That seems to be exactly against our Gemara. That's very, it's good for the Rambam. At least the Rambam's consistent, but it seems to be mufurish against our Gemara. Our Gemara said it's an asay also.
He's quoting what part of the pasuk?
He's quoting the whole pasuk.
He's omitting.
That's right. He's omitting the asay. He has the pasuk. Right. He has the pasuk of Chol Hashayoru, which we learned according to Rashi was the asay part. He totally disregards it.
But then it's phrased. It almost sounds like it's just really the los asay. It's just that they're making an effort.
Right, but again, that's
Lishmore. In other words, to do it, Lishmore is also sort of a low sasei, like we just said before.
No, it says velasas. Okay, we're going to get to it. I agree with what you're saying. I just want to bring out, make sure everyone's, we're all seeing that the Rashi learned from those words, asei. The Rambam clearly did not have that. Now, the question then is, so how did the Rambam learn our Gemara? Doesn't our Gemara seem to only make sense if you hold it, if it's asei dechaleis asei? According to the Rambam, if it's only a lav, so you have asei dechaleis asei, you don't need besar anymore. How did the Rambam read a whole Gemara? It's a whole piece of Gemara that doesn't read according to the Rambam. Let's just read one more Rambam. This is the third Rambam in Hilchas Tzaras, and this Rambam is vital to Shitas. It's like the Rambam. Misha Haisa Beheres Barlo Sayyid. Someone has a Tzaras on the Arlo, you will cut it off. The Afpi Shahi Milo Shlebizman, even though it's a Milo Shlebizman, it's a Mitzvah Sase Dechas. Lois Sase. Bechom Mokim. I say Dechalais. The Rambam says it again. Twice the Rambam writes it in Milo.
The difference is that
Lishna Achorino. Oh, so how did Rambam understand it?
Okay,
good. Good, that's what we're going to see in a second. Could be the Rambam doesn't agree with the whole Lishna Achorina. He throws the whole thing out. We'll see in a second how we do that.
What's the pasuk by Bris again? There's a couple of pasukim.
There's a bunch of, with regard to what I say, Himol, Yimol, it says that a bunch of times. We have a Shmini Yimol, it says the words Yimol a bunch of times.
It's always in the form of an Aseh.
That's correct. It's always in the form of an Aseh.
It doesn't say anything about it should not be an Aura.
It doesn't say it like that, but it says if you don't do it, then you get cursed. That's all it says. But we assume that Milo is just an asay, a regular asay. So the kash is, how did the Rambam learn our Gemara? So the Mishnah Lemelech, on the commentary on the Rambam Hilchot Tzaras, he's bothered with this kash. He writes, Yesh Yitzmu Hazeh. The Perek, you test the Shabbos, the 19th Perek of Shabbos, I mean, on Eimad Amir Yasseh Tzvich Latzeh. Lois Aseh Grei Da'ay Aseh V'Lois Aseh Hu. Pish Rashi told us, he Shomer, Lois Aseh Hu, V'Lasis Kloshe Yeru Hanu Aseh. The Gemara. So, frekt the Mishnah Lemelech. So, why did the Rambam say it's asay the chalais asay? If our Gemara said it's not, it's asay and alois asay. Says the Mishnah Lemelech. Vanira etzli b'das rabenu who the svirle the idach brayso the darish lasois iya toise avla toise b'siv shal ragloi. There's a Gemara kuflam gimel meralf. The Gemara they quotes a brayso where the brayso learns something else from the word lasois. We learn from the word lasois as an asay. The Gemara says, let's say a person has a tzaras on his foot, and if he puts on his shoe to go to work, the tzaras is going to fall off. Is he allowed to do that? So the Gemara says, yeah, that you can do. That's not cutting off a tzaras, that's going to work. If putting on the shoe causes the tzaras to fall off, or whatever, the Gemara has a whole discussion, Tavashen Meschav, and Emsikresha, the Gemara has a whole discussion over there. What do you mean?
I'm cutting off the orla. It happens to take...
So the Gemara makes a drasha over there from the word lasois, that you do normal life, and whatever happens, happens. Where the things drop, they drop. So the Gemara says, let's say I want to carry a heavy load. I carry a sack for a living, and I put the sack on my shoulder, and there's a tzaras on the shoulder. So by putting the heavy sack on the shoulder, you're causing the tzaras to be knocked off. The Gemara says, that's okay. So one second, it says the Mishnah Melech. So it means there's a Gemara later on that learns from the word lasois, not that cutting off a tzaras is an asay, but there's a whole different drasha. You learn from the word lasois that you're allowed to do normal activities even though the tzaras will be cut off. So says the Mishnah Melech. So we have two different brises. This brise I learned last size is an asay. That brise I learned last size teaches me something different. So the Rambam went with that brise. No kasha. No major kasha, says the Mishnah Melech. There's another Gemara that clearly disagrees with this Gemara. So the Rambam went with that Gemara. Says the Mishnah Melech. Why did the Rambam pick that Gemara over our Gemara? Says the Mishnah Melech. Because it's a very famous Gemara that backs it up. Ribashi. The Gemara says in Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel, the Gemara says, Ribashi says, if you skip to the last three lines of the Mishnah Melech, he writes, "Hu pasuk Rabbeinu ki idach brayso," and the Rambam went with the other brayso, "Mishum der Ravashi pasuk kochi," because Ravashi pasuk was that way. The Kama who says, "Heichid amin and dasi odasi asay v'doichil lois asay kain mila b'tzaras." Ravashi has this very famous comment. When do you say asay doichil lois asay mila b'tzaras? What do you mean mila b'tzaras? Mila b'tzaras is not asay doichil lois asay. Mila b'tzaras A is not doiche because of that rule, and B it's an asay and a lois asay. So how could everyone get up and say that the example of the Torah of Asay Deich Elois Asay is Mila B'Tzaras? It's not true.
It's an Asay and an
Asay. It's an Asay and Elois Asay. Mila is the Asay and Tzaras is an Asay and Elois Asay. So says the Mishnah Lamelech, that's because we all go like the other Gemara. The Gemara in Kuf Lamed Gimel that learned from the word Lasay is not the Asay. From Lasay we learned that you're allowed to put the package on your shoulder even though the Tzaras will get knocked off. So then Mila reverts back to being a regular Asay and Elois Asay. Oh, so if it's regular, Mila is an Asay and Tzaras is just a Lav. So now you go back to Asay Dechal Asay. Everything is beautiful. So says the Mishnah Lamelech. So according to the Mishnah Lamelech, the Rambam had two Gemaras in front of him. He chose the other Gemara because the other Gemara seems to be backed up by Rav Ashi's comment of Mila is Asay, Tzaras is Lais Asay, Asay Dechal Lais Asay. So everything is beautiful. The Rambam is all beautiful. Tzaras only carries an Alav. It does not carry an Asay. Fine. Comes along the Taisvis and Shabbos by us, and Taisvis has a kasha. Frek Taisvis.
And the Rashi over there is just explaining that we're not.
So Taisvis has this kasha. Frek Taisvis. He doesn't obviously. Oh, after we see the Mishnah Melech, now you have to ask yourself. So what did everyone else do? Right, Rashi. Rashi learned from the word lasois that it's an asay. But the Gemara in the next Amud learns from the word lasois that it's an asay. Frek Taisvis number 13. Tema. How could you tell me that from the word lasseis I learn that tzaras carries an assay? The Gemara learned something else. So this kasha was where the Mishnah Melech assumed the Rambam got it from. But if you don't learn like the Rambam, you don't like the rest of us, how do you make it make sense? So it says, not from the word lasseis, it's from the word lishmar. Okay? A little bit of a daichik, perhaps, but that's... usually lishmar is not... I agree with you.
Unless lishmar is shomer.
Somehow this is a...
There's two shamas of shomer here.
Right, right.
In the pasuk.
Could be.
You have three. It's shomer, lishmar, and tishmar.
Could be. That's, again, we all agree that this is a big daichik. Saying like the Mishnah Melech is beautiful. If you answer like the Mishnah Melech, then Rambam is great. It doesn't have to deal with this problem, because lasis is teaching me something totally different.
Explaining that Gemara. Now, is this
going
to disagree? Who says that you're passing
like
halacha? You're just explaining
that
Gemara.
That Gemara
okay. And that Gemara disagrees with this Gemara. Could be.
The Rambam's Gemara is fine.
The
Tosfos is trying to answer.
For Rashi. Right, 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 right. Tosfos is trying to answer. Now, Tosfos has another kasha. Vim Toimar. For Ha'omar B'Samach, Hechid Aminu Dossi, Asevi Dechilu, Asevi Gemilu B'Tzaraz, Amo Dalaka B'Tzaraz, Alalav. The same raya that the Mishnah Lamelech brought for the Rambam says Tosfos is now kasha and Rashi. We have this Gemara where Rashi told me that Mila B'Tzaraz is Asevi Dechilu, Asevi. What are you talking about? Mila is not Asevi Dechilu, Asevi. So Tosfos gives another answer. You're right. We just wanted to give an example of Asay Dechal Eisasei. So we said Mila B'Tzaras, but it's not really true because Mila B'Tzaras is not really a Lois Asay. It's really an Asay V'Lois Asay. That's pretty out there. That's very very shver.
He's referring to Rabashi's statement.
Yeah, he's saying the Rabashi's statement, although is not actually correct because Mila is not just a lav. It's a Lois Asay V'Asay. But we're trying to bring out the point that there's a thing called Asay Dechal Eisasei.
But why is that?
Why weren't they comfortable saying this?
Asogius. Very strange. The Tosfos has to think that for some reason these two Gemaras have to work. But what I wanted from this Tosfos was the last line of the Tosfos. Vim Toimer. Frek Tosfos, great kasha now. 1 second, Frek Tosfos. You're telling me now that we have a rule, Asay is not Deche Lois Asay Vaasay. Nigmar Mimila B'Tzaras Dedochi. What do you mean? It is. At the end of the day, Mila is Deche Tzaras. If you hold it, the Gzeres HaKasav of Bessar is teaching me that even though Mila is an Asay and Tzaras is a Lois Asay Vasay, at the end of the day, Mila beats a Tzaras. So why can't you learn out from here? Right, learn it. Learn. So says Taisis V'yeshloima Mala Mila Shkeinichus Alei Gimel Brises. Now, Taisis, that's not true. The reason why Mila beats out Tzaras, even though Mila is an Asay and these other things are Lois Asay Vasay, is because Mila is so special, it's so unique, and it's Gimel Brises. So you can't learn out a regular, typical case. Now, Frek de Marsha.
You wouldn't need a special Xeris Akasav. You could just say it maybe without the Xeris.
No, because normally I say it's not the Chalais Asay Vasay.
But maybe you would say this is a special essay. It's a supercharged.
That was the Rashba. We mentioned the Rashba at such a Pshat like that and have me to the Gemara. So according to this, what comes out is that really the Xeris Akasav is Megala to me that what? I would have learned that the Xeris Akasav of Besar teaches me that I say the Chalais Asay Vasay. So if I tell you to learn that B'chol HaTorah Kula, so it's not limited. It's only by Mila. Because why? Mila is a special mitzvah. It has Yud Gimel Brises. Frek de Marsha. That's not going to fly. Why? Frek de Marsha number 14. Ach yesh adaktik. Dein terutze maspik. Hacha. Dakati kosh l'rvashi. Del kamon de Mila shleb izmanay. Ein edeche yomtif. Frek de Marsha. 1 second. We all know Mila shleb izmanay is not deche yomtif. Why? Because yomtif is an asay v'lois asay. V'ein asay deche lois asay v'asay. I don't get it. Why can't Mila be Deicha Yomtif? So everyone knows Mila can't be Deicha Yomtif because Ein Asay Deicha Lois Asay Vasay. But Mila B'Tzaras is Asay and Lois Asay. I have a Chitema Yud Gimel Brises. Mila Shleb Ismane also has Yud Gimel Brises. Now, the Mashah answer is that it doesn't. Mashah is mechadish in this sugya that Milah Shabbos Man, it doesn't carry the same chumra of Yud Gimel Brises. But without that, that's in his kashi, he assumes not like that. So, frak the Mashah, if Tosis is telling me that what? That Asay Doicheloys Asay Vasay by Tsaras and Milah is only by a Milah based sugya, so why is Milah not Doiche? Why is Milah Shabbos Man not Doiche Yom Tov? If you hold like the Rambam, none of these things are a kasha. According to Rambam, everything is beautiful. Because according to Rambam, it's not Asay Veloys Asay, it's Asay Doicheloys Asay. Simple. Yom Tiv is Asay and Eloys Asay. Oh, Asay Veloys Asay, you lose. So according to the Rambam, none of these kashas are kasha. But if you're going to learn like Tosfos, then it's going to be a kasha. The Dvar Avram has a whole other mahalach from this Gemara, quoting from Reb Nissen Goyen. Reb Nissen Goyen learned the Gemara like the Rambam with a totally different twist. When we saw the end of the Gemara, Talmud Loima Bisar. So how do we learn the Gemara? We learned the Gemara is that Mila Bitzaras is an Asay and Eloys Asay. Fine. And Asay is not the Echelos Asay V'Asay, but I have Xeris Akasa that says it is. Says the Rebbeinu Nisim Goyin, that's not the Kamash Malon. The Kamash Malon of the Gemara was, is that Mila is only a Lav. That's what the Pasuk teaches me. The Pasuk of Tamaloyma Bisar doesn't teach me that even though it shouldn't work, it does work. The Gile Hakra is that Mila is only a Lav and not an Asay. That's our Nisim Goyin learned the Gemara.
And what's the Lav? Not to be...
The Lav is Ishamer. It's only a Lav. So the Havamina of the Gemara was that Tsaras was an Asay and a Lois Asay. Kamash Malon, the Pasuk of Bisar, is a little out there, and from the word Bisar, written by Mila, I learned that Tsaras is only a Lav.
Tsaras is only a Lav.
Which is very strange. It's the Pasuk by Mila is Megal to me how to look at Tsaras. Now, if you learn like this, that's the answer for the Rambam. You don't have to say like the Mishnah Lamelech that the Rambam picked two Gemaras. The Rambam learned our Gemara. How do you read our Gemara? The way you read our Gemara is Talmud Loima Bisar is that the Torah is mechadish to me from the word Bisar that Mila is that Tsaras is only a Lav, not a Lav Ase. And it's simple. I say,
how does the Bisar by Mila work to take off the.
I don't know. That's my Kasha also. But there's a bigger Kasha that the Dvar Avram asks on there's a Nissen going. If you remember the Gemara, what did the Gemara say? I have Bisar. And then the Gemara started asking, well, I only have Bisar by a Godel. I only have Bisar by a Cotton. What do I do with the middle guy? Frek the Dvar of Rome, Frek the Covenant of Rome. I don't understand. Once I learn from the word Bisar, Agile Hakra, that there is no Lav, there's no Asay Batsaras, that should go by all of them. Bishlom, if Bisar is a Reba in a Din and Mila, so then Yakash the Gemara is beautiful. Wherever the Reba applies, the Reba applies. But now that you're telling me that that's not the Lomdis, the Lomdis of Bisar is a Gilo, you had to look at the Asay of Tsaras. So that Asay of Tsaras changes between a baby that's 8 days old and a baby that's 12 years old. It doesn't make any sense. So the Dvar Avram argues on this with Nissim Goyin. But if you learn like Nissim Goyin, you have the same conclusion as the Rambam. That Halach Lamaisa, Asay Dech Eloisa Asay is the way you look at Tsaras is Taka only a Lav. And the Melech Asay Dech Eloisa. The Neder, now this Sunday, next Sunday, we'll talk more about this and we'll try to figure out why is Asay Dech Eloisa Asay, but not Asay Dech Eloisa Asay. Yeah.
What?